Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, and welcome to another bonus episode of Australian Jams. I'm super excited. I say that every time, but I'm like outrageously excited to be interviewing the person that I'm interviewing. I've been like dropping hints across social media for like a week now because I'm really stoked. I've got Angie McMahon here.
Hello.
Angie is an absolute champ. Although she's only released one single, by the time you guys hear this, she'll have a second one out. Has pretty much done everything so far you can in Australia.
That's definitely not true. There's so many things I haven't done.
It's her first podcast today, so I think she's both nervous and excited.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am definitely terrified and very happy to be here.
Excellent. Yeah. So, Angie, can you give us a run? Sorry, I'm playing with my mic, so that's what that sounds like.
That's okay. I'm like staring at my mic, just wondering if I'm close enough to it.
You're fine.
Okay, cool. I'm like hunched over it.
Yeah, tell us who you are, what you do. Give us the brief introduction.
Okay, I am Angie, and I sing my songs to crowds. And
big crowds.
Growing crowds, which is really nice to be able to say. But, sometimes I just sing them to my piano or my phone. But, yeah, I am making an album at the minute and doing some gigs with my band and growing this Angie McMahon business. Suddenly I'm in charge of a business. I'm like, let's plan our year of finances.
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Slow Mover, debut single.
Yes.
Tell us about the process of actually finally getting a song out. I heard that it had been a little while that you'd kind of been working behind the scenes, doing stuff, and then you finally got a solo song out.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's the case for anyone in, like, this sort of position of releasing music, is that there's, like, all this stuff that goes on behind the scenes, I guess, in the years and months leading up to it. Slow Mover I put out in October last year. And I had written that song and a bunch of songs, you know, by the start of last year. So, between January and October, it was sort of like figuring out how to record them and how I wanted to record them and getting a bit of money and also started working with my manager, Charlotte, who's like so wonderful. And it was really awesome that I waited to release until I had her on board, because then she just made the process so much more cohesive and massive and got our team together and made it like a really successful release. So it was cool that there was like that big build up, but definitely like from writing the song to releasing it, there was all this stuff where I like recorded it once and then went back and recorded it again with my band and like started playing with my band and started doing more gigs so it was a big year of like very slowly stepping into the water, I guess. It feels like the ocean of releasing music. I was like staring at the horizon for a really long time. And then eventually I was like, okay, let's go.
Charlotte's an absolute champ.
She's such a champion. Oh my God.
Shout out to her. She works really, really hard. Not saying that other managers don't, but she really, really does.
Oh, management is like a crazy, like just seeing what I see of it, which is, you know, probably about 35%. It's just a crazy job, but every manager that I've met is working very hard. But Charlotte is, yeah, she's such a good friend to me as well, and she's a very intelligent person and very humble and very nice.
It's awesome to have such strong female role models as well, and I don't want to bring it back to the cliche, like, female role models, blah, 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 but it's pretty true and pretty important for young females in the industry to see people like Charlotte and people like Savvy, who's upstairs. We're at the Native Tongue Writers Room today, who they've been very kind to loan us the room today.
It's amazing,
and
by the way.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. I want to be here forever. But their whole, a lot of their team are female, so there are more and more coming through, and seeing people like Charlotte doing amazing things is incredible for me as well. They're my role models too.
Yeah.
So have you found that's been really important in your relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for so many reasons, just because we, you know, we share experiences and viewpoints on so many things, and, you know, yeah, like, you don't want to think that that gender is super important, and it's not, and we work with a lot of, you know, a lot of non-women as well, but we, yeah, I guess we find it really easy to talk about the things that we go through as women and then, you know, relate to each other and then move on from them and support each other and make space for each other's experiences. And I mean, she's been an incredible role model for me. Like, she's so together and wonderful and wonderful at relating to other people. And I mean, role models is like, what the fuck would we do without them?
Exactly. Agreed.
Retreat. I started saying this thing, my friend Camille introduced me to this thing, which is like, when you agree with someone, you just like use the word retweet in real life. And it's like, yes, Gemma, retweet.
Just say retweet at them when you agree.
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's catching on. I've got several of my friends to introduce them to their vocab. You're going to start saying it now. You're going to find a place.
I'll think of you every time.
Okay.
Just on that as well, being a female performer, being a young female performer, do you find people underestimate you? Because you are very powerful.
I mean, I guess there's always a risk of that, but you can underestimate any performer, and I try not to think about the fact that I'm a female when I am performing, you know? Yeah. And I guess, as a musician, like, as someone on stage, I try to be, like, a powerful performer and a powerful person when I, you know, in like my, like, a business setting. So I guess my concept behind that is like, don't let people underestimate you.
Yeah.
But definitely I think that women are underestimated in general, probably across the industry and most industries. And, that just comes in little bursts. Like, it's not all the time, but you get little moments of being like, oh, okay, fuck with it. You're wrong about that. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's not like I have a really hard time. Like, I'm really lucky. And also that does have to do with having women on the team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I touched on you being powerful. Your voice is incredibly strong and it's so, I guess, unexpected. If you haven't heard you sing before.
Yeah, people say that.
Do you find people say that? Yeah.
People who say that my speaking voice doesn't sound like my singing voice, I guess. Yeah.
Do you find that's kind of a cool juxtaposition to have?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I never really thought about it. I really like singing and I like my singing voice, and I think I'm lucky to have that. Like, I really enjoy singing and I like hearing myself sing. I guess it's kind of like a really vain thing to say, but...
No, it's excellent.
I probably have shaped my singing style around artists that I love and probably didn't sing quite as, I guess, loud or, you know, like, I hadn't really honed in on the skill as much, like, a few years ago, and I probably was, like, quite a fragile singer in the past. And just, like, learnt from the voices that I really love and tried to copy them. And don't necessarily do it with very good technique and will probably lose my voice at some stage of my career and crash and burn. So it's not like I'm at the top of this, like, vocal pyramid, but I just like making noise, basically, and I like yelling stuff, so...
That suits your style and your songwriting.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's working for you.
Good at yelling.
It's quite interesting. I was speaking to Eilish Gilligan, not too
amazing,
long ago.
Amazing human.
And she was saying about how she's got a voice that she, when she was younger, was quite insecure about because it was so different.
Yeah.
Did you ever go through something like that with your voice where you didn't feel like it represented you or that the population enjoyed it?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think everyone probably has a different, like, vocal or, like, musical, like, style transition and, like, confidence trajectory, I guess. I think, yeah, I mean, I think Eilish's voice is, like, really unique, and I can imagine her feeling that at some stage, being like, my voice doesn't sound like other people, like, ugh. But obviously, like, you and I know she's an amazing singer, and yeah. She's really, like, owned it, and she's got an incredibly special sounding voice. And I think with my voice, I always liked it, but at one point I was like singing in a soul band and I felt like it wasn't like loud enough, you know. I had always been doing like folky singing before then, and then I started singing in this like louder style, and then I wasn't really happy with that because I felt like it was really yelly and like really kind of imperfect, and I wanted to have like a massive range, you know, and have this like Aretha thing going on, and I just couldn't get there. And so now I think I have bits of that in my singing and bits of the folky thing, and found like some kind of middle ground maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool to be young and trying out different musical things and trying to figure out what works for you. And then there's definitely periods in there where you're just like, I'm shit. I'm so shit. Stop.
I guess it's finding that common ground of where you feel comfortable singing as well. Like,
yeah.
As much as it's about what people like and whether it suits your music or anything like that, it's got to be about what you feel comfortable singing, because you're not going to keep enjoying it, are you?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you can get caught up in like, oh, but I'm doing gigs, like, you know, I'm lucky to be doing this, so it doesn't matter if I love it. But at some point, yeah, you have to really make decisions to be doing exactly what you are passionate about doing. Otherwise, you're going to get sad.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good apply quote. To Otherwise, life. You're going to get sad. let's bring it back to Slow Mover. You mentioned it was released in October.
Yes.
And we have to touch on the fact that it came number 33 in the Hottest 100.
Okay.
Having only been out for a couple of months to be eligible to be voted for.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty incredible feat, and something maybe you were hoping for but not expecting?
Yeah, I definitely had... It hadn't really crossed my mind when we released it, but then, I started thinking about it when people started, like, tagging me on votes in Instagram, and I was like, oh, oh, okay. Like, you don't... Yeah, it's hard to have a concept of how many people listen to your song, and obviously, like, Triple J... were just like super supportive, like so amazing. And I just discovered after having released the song that the people who work there are so like personable and so lovely. So many individual, really kind people who will say nice things about your music on air, and like incredibly powerful that happens. So I feel really lucky that it got in the countdown and that people voted for it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's still really weird to me that people hear that song and I don't know. Like, my friend sent me a video of, like, the construction site opposite her house where, like, the builders were listening to the Triple J and, like, listening to the song and, like, singing along to it. And I was just like, what are they doing? Why are they... Don't they know that's me? Why are they doing that?
It's like, that's going to be one of the coolest things, though.
It's real weird. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. And, like, last week I had a really big cry because I got sent a video from my friend Helen Shanahan. She's, like, a songwriter who lives in Perth, and she's wonderful, and she also teaches, like, songwriting and singing to students.
Yeah.
One of her students had come to her and been like, I want to learn Slow Mover by Angie McMahon. And Helen was like, she's my friend. And then this girl, I think her name's Gabby, she told her the song, and then Helen filmed her singing the song and sent me the video. And, like, I've seen a couple people sing the song and have been, like, pretty affected by it every time, because I'm like, oh my god, amazing that people want to learn this song. But in this instance, it was, like, Gabby sitting in her school dress, like, in this music room. And it just, like, made me think of when I was in school and, like, I wanted to be doing songwriting and, like, you know, being in year 11 and imagining a music career. And it just, like, completely threw me. I was like, oh my god, like, since I was that age, I've now released a song, and now other people in school, like, have heard my song, like, insane. And it just, yeah, that was a cool moment, because I was like physically taken back to a really different chapter in my life when I hadn't achieved the stuff I wanted to achieve yet. So in short, yes, it's very nice that song got on the countdown, because it made me feel like I had achieved it.
But this is you becoming a role model now. You're becoming Charlotte.
Maybe. I mean, Charlotte is a role model in so many ways. Maybe I'm a role model in, like, a musical way, but in most life ways, I'm just, like, completely potato.
Completely. Mashed potato. on Completely Potato, let's have a little bit of a listen to some of Slow Mover.
We were not ready, we've got plenty of time. Maybe we'll get married, maybe fall in love. Could you make me fall asleep when you're holding me? I try setting me on fire, try setting me on fire. Someone else, but I twist all of his words and he twists mine. So I'll have to let him go. We sometimes fit, but we
okay. We've had our water, it was good. How funny that we're at the Native Tongue office away from my normal chair and I've still got a squeaky chair, guys. Every time. It's going to become my brand.
Squeaky chair merch.
I should make squeaky chair
you
merch.
You should. And you should put those bloody socks somewhere.
I'm wearing
I guess you can't resell someone else's design. They just suit you and they're wonderful.
Just for those playing at home, I'm wearing pug sandwich socks. Angie took a photo, so you can check her Instagram. She'll probably post
it. Yeah, I'm going to put it on my story. They're as amazing as they sound.
They're pretty cool. I'm glad I wore them today now. So, for someone that's only released one song, two when this is out, but still, since October, you've had some huge support opportunities.
Yes.
Reasonably so, because you're an incredible performer, but you've supported who? The Shins?
Yes.
Tell me more.
The Shins. It's because I have a really good booking agent, actually. He's like, good on your Brett. The Shins, it was in December, and I did Alanis Morissette in January.
That's massive.
That was pretty cool. Last year, before December, who else? There was Father John Misty and some other cool ones like Alex Leahy and Greta Ray. In April this year, we're going to do the Angus and Julia Stone tour, which will be the longest thing that I've done. The longest thing. It'll be amazing. It's going to be 20 dates. I've got to, like, get my fitness and health in check so that I don't drop dead, eat some kale or something.
Eat some kale.
Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to that.
Just chug lots of orange juice.
Yeah.
It's my favourite thing to do.
Vitamin C.
Just always have it.
Yeah.
Always. Kombucha. Someone should sponsor Angie for orange juice.
I would definitely take them up on that.
Go on, juice makers.
Any
good opportunity here.
Oh no, my dad's going to jump on this, but he makes bad orange juice. Sorry, Dad. Can you believe you can make bad orange juice? But it's just like, I mean, he likes it, which is all that matters, but he just like pulverizes the orange. Oh. So it's like pulp as well. And like, it's good for you. Like, it's so much better for you to have all that stuff. But he's just so excited by our Nutribullet, and I'm like, I just want the bad stuff. Like, I just want the sugary juice. Sorry, Dad. You're great.
We've got to find a common ground here. He's got to give you a strainer. He can have all the pulp.
Yeah.
And you can have all the juice.
Yeah, Dad, you have the broth. Yeah.
Yeah. But those are some huge supports.
Yeah.
Have you felt pressure prior to those shows?
I guess it's been a different experience every time. I feel like there were some other ones, but I can't remember them. I'm sure if I looked at a list, I'd be like, you should have said that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's different. Like, some of them I've done by myself and some of them I've done with my band, which is a trio. And so that's, like, a different vibe because by myself is sort of, like, you have to hold your own. You have to hold your own backstage. Like, I might have one person, like, Charlotte or... you know, family member or whatever, but sometimes I'll just be by myself, like go to Sydney, play the Father John Misty show by myself, pretty feeling pretty like raw and baby-ish in the industry, and I'm just like, ah, hello all you American strangers, I am the support act, please, where should I be? It's like, you know, like terrifying. But then once I get on stage, I feel like I can hold my own, and I really love being on stage. And I love being on stage with the band as well, and we like vibe off each other, and we have a lot of fun experiences together. So the pressure, I guess I don't feel like it's massive because the support act slot is sort of, like, people don't really care, you know? Like, they have low expectations of you're a support act. That's basically the way I see it. It's like, everyone's got low expectations, so I'm going to give this show everything and hopefully it goes really well.
Yeah.
And you know, and bring some people in and get them on board, but people aren't like, oh, the support act's going to be amazing. And then I'm, like, worried that I'm going to play something shit because they paid $70 or $80 to see the main act before they'd announce the support act most of the time, you know? So I'm like, cool. I'm a random to you until I convince you otherwise. And so it's a kind of a nice challenge. Like, it's kind of like, get out there, do the thing that you're meant to be good at it. And, like, I like that. I like performing. I like having the opportunity to perform, and I'm really grateful for it. So the pressure's there, but it's...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I feel more pressure around, like, a song release or something when the audience is invisible and, like, the internet is there and I have no idea who's going to listen to the song or how it's going to go or what people are going to say or write about it. I feel like in a performance space, it's present and I have the opportunity on the spot to give it everything and convince people straight away.
Yeah, do you feel that song releases are more of a vulnerability because people can focus on lyricism and things like that and what you're actually putting out there, whereas performance is you throwing it at them? It's kind of a different vibe.
It's two really different things, like both with awesome pros and terrifying cons. I really love performing. It's physically taxing, and like touring I think is physically taxing, but I really love being on stage, and I think song releases are terrifying, but obviously, like we've said, I've only released one song, so I guess we'll find out. But I think now what I'm feeling is like maybe people have some expectations around the, you know, the follow-up single from something that did quite well, which is also nice, like a nice challenge for my mental state and my career, you know, like I want to meet the expectations, and I'm really like excited about this song that we're releasing. Like I think that the production is awesome, and I think that it's a nice like taste of what the album's going to be, and it's like it's all super exciting stuff, like but yeah, the pressures are different and the experiences are different, like they're two really different things. It's like two things, you like to be a recording artist and a performing artist, like two completely different mindsets, and it's lucky that they happen on different days. Like if you fucking had to go into the studio at 9 a.m. and then get on stage at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday, like on the same day, you'd just be absolutely lost in the whirlpool of life because it's too much for a little brain.
Angie has the best quotes. I'm going to just make a whole book of quotes from you.
I'm just rambling shit.
Well, I did see you play at the Works Club on, it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
I can't remember.
It was definitely a weeknight.
Yeah.
And it was boiling hot.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
And, no problems. And it was packed.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to get people out to a show on a really hot night in Melbourne?
Yeah. Well, it was hot because there were so many people in the room and we were all, like, real sweaty. But, yeah, I mean, Melbourne actually is, like, we're lucky with gigs. Like, people do like going to gigs, you know. It's a special thing to be able to get people to buy tickets to your gig, and I don't take it lightly. But I think the Melbourne music community is amazing, like, seriously amazing, and has nurtured me personally, to a massive extent. And so many other artists that I know as well feel at home in the Melbourne music scene, and I think the fact that people go to gigs and will, like, you know, like, stand in a hot room anyway and, like, enjoy the gig is, like, fucking how lucky.
It was such a good show, though. Very, like, powerful. I've said it so many times, but that's the word that comes to mind. You just...
Power.
Like, it's the confidence and the presence that's really impressive, and it's what won everyone over in the room. And there were people that were talking about it for a long time after. So, Angie's Howler show is sold out,
yes,
but has just announced the Gasso show. So, highly recommend everyone jump on board and get tickets to that, because I imagine it's going to sell out fairly quickly. So, definitely do that. Support-wise and other artist-wise, now that we're talking about Melbourne, who are some other artists around the scene that you're really enjoying or enjoying working with or anything like that at the moment? Because we do like to celebrate Australian music here, and Angie did message me earlier today asking about talking about other artists.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I just think it's, like, it's awesome. I love having the opportunity to, like, go on something like this, like a podcast, and, like, don't necessarily need to talk about myself the whole time. Because there's so many artists around town, you know, like, and around the country, and, like, it's cool to be able to contribute to that scene, but also, like, everyone needs the support. Yeah, well, at the Melbourne shows that we're doing, the support act is Holly Joyce.
Who's amazing as well.
Oh, my God. Is she the queen of the world yet? Because she should be. She's, actually, I don't know Holly that well, but every time I've spoken to her, it's just been, like, lovely, because she's an incredibly nice human. But I've seen her play a few times, and it's, like, it just... Yeah, it just fucks me up. Like, I'm just like, what am I even doing this for when there's you? She's amazing. And I am excited for Holly to release music. I think she's put out one song. So, yeah, I would definitely try and get to one of her gigs. Doesn't even have to be my gig. Just any gig that Holly is playing. And her band are amazing as well. There's really, really lovely people in her band. And those people are in other bands, which are also amazing. Who else do I want to talk about? My favourite band in the world is OPEP. Do you know OPEP?
Yes. They're like such a cool duo, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just so quirky and awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. They're badass. Like, they just do exactly what they want to do, and they don't base their decisions on, like, you know, what's expected or... I don't know. I just think they write awesome songs. Like,
yeah.
I just think... And they're friends of mine, and I talk to them about... the industry and about life, and, like, come away from those conversations just feeling like I can do anything. I think they're wonderful. They have this song, Tea, Milk and Honey, which is, like, one of my favourite songs. You know how you make Spotify playlists and you, like, have some songs that just happen to keep reoccurring in every single Spotify playlist that you make? So that song is one of mine. It's just, like, in every... I mean, it's, like, embarrassing that I keep on making Spotify playlists. Essentially, it's exactly the same playlist every time. It's, like, that song, Sister by Angel Olsen, and, like, this Tom Waits ballad, and, like, a couple of other things, and they're just, like, it's just the same playlist.
Do your friends ever call you out on that? Because I find my friends, when they jump in my car,
yeah,
they're like, you're always playing Gordy. I'm like, because she's amazing, so yeah, shut up.
Yeah, I'm driving you somewhere.
Yeah. Just accept it and move on.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I just tried... Yeah, I don't know what I listen to in the car. I think I've been listening to the radio lately. And, like, usually it's Smooth FM, to be honest. I'm not, like, the coolest listener. I'm just waiting for Total Eclipse of the Heart to come on. They play it, like, once a week. It's, like, the highlight of my life.
It's funny because you could so easily just play it on Spotify, but it's just not as good if you just play it. It's not as
exciting.
Because you're catching it at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sometimes... I do listen to Spotify in a car for sure. Like, usually I go to an album. Maybe I have an album that I listen to, like, every week. Like, this week it's, like, The National. And then, you know, I'll just, like, probably play that whenever. And then I was going to say another Melbourne band that we were on that topic. Oh, Rat Hammock. Oh my God, Rat Hammock.
I love Rat Hammock. Jackson's such a champ. I've been trying for so long to set up a recording with him.
Oh, you should. This has to be.
And he's just like, yeah, we'll book it. And then he just forgets. It's just like, come on, man, yes. I really want you on this.
Classic artist.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah.
They're so good. And they're doing the City Calm Down tour.
Oh, really?
City Calm Down? Tiny Little Houses.
Oh, Tiny Little Houses, yeah.
Sorry, I get those bands mixed up. A different three-word
band. Yeah, no, that's it.
I know it's not great, but I do get them mixed up.
Because I knew they were doing Tiny Little Houses, and I was like, City Calm Down as well?
That's how good would that be, though?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's really embarrassing that I got that wrong, though.
No, it's not. There's so many band names.
Well, on that, let's take another water break and have a quick listen to Tea, Milk and Honey by OPEP, because it's Andy's favorite song.
Yeah, the lyrics mess me up. Actually, they don't mess me up. They define my life. They make me feel like I can make decisions. It's basically like there's like this lyric in the song that's like, I heard you were running before you could walk. I heard you were yelling before you could talk. Like, that's some of the lyrics. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I was doing that. Oh, thanks, Liv, for saying that. And it's just like, you know, I was listening to that song before. I was really close with him and just, like, you know, crying over it all the time. It's incredible. So, yeah.
I'll try to get that line in the snippet that I play.
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. No stress.
It's a challenge now. Here we go.
Take time, take all the time you need. Take time or you won't succeed. I take time and I worry about your health sometimes. Don't ever run when you can't walk. Heard you yelling before you could talk. Thinking twice will lead you into a bad place. You gotta move fast to win. No space for time, no time for space. I ain't got what the human race need. No, I won't contribute to your polluted.
Okay, we're gonna be on our last section here.
Okay.
And we're gonna talk about the new song.
Okay.
Which I was very lucky to hear prior to its release.
Okay.
It's called Missing Me, and I found that the vocal was even stronger in this one and really focused than necessarily was in Slow Mover.
Mm.
And I think that comes from the introduction and how focused that is.
Mm.
Can you tell us about how that part of the song came together? Because it is quite a different opening to Slow Mover.
Yeah. I have no idea when I wrote the song, like when I wrote that part of the song, so I can't remember why I decided to put it in there. Like, it's kind of like this little sample from the chorus, but it's like the intro to the song, I guess. I felt like it was the most, like badass kind of like angry bit of the song. And that was the vibe of the song, you know, as I was trying to express this, like this really strong feeling. So I wanted to put it right at the beginning and have that be, like set the mood, you know, like there's no kind of like guessing. It's like the song starts and it's like, okay, she's pissed off. We get it. So that was like the vibe when I wrote it, you know, like I think I wrote it like 2 years ago or something. But I recorded this one with Alex O'Gorman. I call him Gormy, and he is also the bass player in my band, but he's going to produce like the album. So amazing. We have started, this was the first song that we did together, and it was like an amazing experience because we just have this really lovely, like, musical working partnership. Like, we, you know, we both were, like, throwing ideas at it. And because he plays in the band, he, like, plays the song all the time. So we both have, like, quite a strong relationship with the performance of the song and how we think it should sound. So it was really exciting to make it. And, yeah, we actually did that start bit. It's a live take, the whole song, with me and Gormy and then Lockie playing drums. Lachlan O'Kane.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay. There's so many. It's like Alex O'Gorman, Lachlan O'Kane. There's so many.
You're a Mick and they're an O.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you all Irish?
I guess we all are Irish something. Yeah. I should know more about people. I should
we're know getting more off about track.
Anyway. Yeah, so we recorded one take and most of the song is that take, but we decided we wanted the very beginning to really be quite intimate and quite punchy, and I didn't sing that first bit as well as I'd wanted to. The rest of it I really liked, everything. So we set up a different mic in the studio like a couple of days later and re-recorded just the intro.
Yep.
And so it's like a really high res mic. I don't think high res mic is like a technical engineering term, but everyone can fuck off. It's a high-res mic at the start, and then it gets to the verse, and it's back to, like, the live take. So it's like a very slight difference between the vocal sound, I guess, but
that's a cool effect, though.
Yeah, it does. I really love it. Like, I'm so happy with the production of this song. It was so fun to make, and we were just trying to be, like, pretty chaotic with it and, like, kind of bold and make noise, you know, like gets to the end of the track and there's like a fair bit of noise and just like, blah.
I wish I got a picture of your face just then. I really enjoyed that straight from the start, everyone understands what the song is.
Yeah.
And how you're here to like tell a story.
Yeah.
It might not be the most fun story of your life, but it's liberating in a way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was, yeah, I was just trying to capture the way that I was feeling at this time, you know, like on this day. And it's, it was like one of those things when you're feeling like disconnected from someone and you're sort of like, I guess, yeah, like you've been really close with somebody and then like you start to realize that you have to like not be close with them anymore. And it's like, it's heartbreaking. Like it's like a really strong thing. And I was like sad. And I was also like kind of hating on myself a bit and just like feeling pretty dark. And this song felt good to sing in that like really, like deep and powerful way, I guess, because it felt like the way that I could channel that feeling. Like it was just kind of like, I don't think I'd ever quite written a song like this before. Like I was like bashing, I actually wrote it on a keyboard and I was like bashing the keyboard and like kind of like yelling into this like little computer microphone, and it just felt really good to do it in that bold way. And that I think that that's the way that I approach a lot of my songwriting, is to try and nail the feeling at the time. You know, it's not like, it's kind of like a one-sided story. Like it's not necessarily like this is me telling the whole story of this like relationship casual romance thing, but it's just like me trying to nail that feeling of feeling like shit. And so it's fun to sing because I feel like it's pretty loose and it's pretty like raw human stuff, you know.
I think that's the thing everyone loved about Slow Mover as well, is that it did tell a story. Like it literally put you on the street where you were as you sang it, and people could feel themselves there. And I think this one does the same thing. And that's cool. I think really good songs will do that, and songs that aren't necessarily as well written don't manage to capture that, no matter how good the lyricism and song structure is.
Yeah.
If it can put you in that place, it's a whole other level.
Well, that's very nice. I don't really know what to do with that. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of different types of songs, and there's a whole lot of different types of songs that I want to write as well. But it's cool to feel like you were just feeling something or living something and then you wrote it down properly. You know? Because, like, for me, that's, like, the therapy. That's, like, how you get over the thing. It's, like, you write it down. And actually, I think initially when I started performing this song, I felt really self-conscious about it because I was, like, this is quite an angry song. Like, it's sort of a bit blamey and it's pretty full-on. And I was kind of like, it's a bit, like, self-serving. Like, it's super intense and I just don't know if, like, it's a bit too much. Like, it's a bit too, like, angry girl thing. But, and then I came to terms, like, I came to peace with it because I was like, well, that's how I actually got over that feeling, is by writing it down exactly as it was and then releasing it. Like, it was sort of the therapy thing.
Yeah.
And so, and that's all the songs, is it's like I'm literally writing them for myself as a therapy and then moving on from the thing. And now I just like performing it.
Well, I'm pretty excited for this one to come out. It will be out by the time this podcast is out, so that I don't get to jump the gun, which is fair.
That's actually scary. Now I'm like, oh, it's coming out soon.
It's coming out really soon. Whoa. It's so exciting, though.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gemma.
But we're going to go and drink more water and talk about socks some more.
Mm.
While you can all listen to a little bit of Missing Me, definitely stream it, buy it, get it where you can. Support the artist, please. I said this in the bonus episode with Eilish as well, and she said, no, don't do that. But definitely do that. It costs $2 of your money to support an artist, so please do that. I'm going to buy it now as well.
But subscribe to Patreon, Australian Jams podcast. Wonderful, wonderful Australian music podcast. Wonderful Gemma behind the podcast.
Andy's been a big supporter of the podcast since we started, actually, because I think we spoke about one of your songs very, very early on.
Kind Angels. Oh, yeah, you and Alex Biggs.
Yeah, there you go, Alex Biggs, who's a champ, whose manager is the one that just interrupted us here.
Yeah. Bless their souls.
Yeah. But I just want to thank Angie for coming out on a Monday night to record with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We've got a bit of a makeshift setup in here. I want to shout out Native Tongue again for letting us use their room. It's been amazing to get to use in here and walk 5 minutes from work to record rather than have to drive in traffic home before I can record.
Thank you, Native Tongue.
Yeah. And, go listen to more local music and support the artists. And thank you, Angie.
Retweet. Thank you. Thanks, Gemma.
Bye. Yay,
bye. Bye, everyone.
Loving you is throwing me. Loving you is lonely. Loving you is lonely. Oh, you can swagger. You can gather attention, but I'm sick of your photographs. I'm so sick of your photographs. So you can chatter, and you could talk me to nothing, but I'm tired of being your sweetheart. I'm tired of being your sweetheart. Loving you has told me you have been my only rock on the ground. Now that I'm out of sight.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.